For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearly, and this is the African American Folklorist. In part one of my interview with Dave Howard, executive director of the Louisville Folk School, he shared with us the mission of the school and African American contributions to Kentucky as a whole. Today, he tells us who is part of the panel exploring the African American influence on Kentucky music. Who are some of the historians and researchers that are part of this series?
So we have Michael L. Jones, a Louisville-based historian and writer who's moderating the series. Joining him on that first episode was composer and pianist Rachel Grimes, who has done a lot of research on Henry Hart and wrote a folk opera at Kentucky Performing Arts, helped produce, that had a lot of these stories, the stories of Dolly and of Henry Hart. And then also Dr. Clark Kimberling, actually a math professor at the University of Evansville, but he's also a writer and arranger of music, and he discovered Henry Hart looking through the Library of Congress archives and came across some of his melodies, which he recognized as being really sweet melodies. And so he kind of got intrigued from there. And Michael Jones is actually writing a book on Henry Hart. So the three of them, I think, are probably the experts on the subject, and really enjoyed that discussion. For our next episode, we'll have Michael Jones talking with Layla McCullough, who is a New Orleans-based multi-musician. She plays banjo and cello, probably a lot of other instruments, a songwriter. She's of Haitian descent, and she'll be discussing the Caribbean and the stories of the banjo traveling up through the Caribbean. And she asks, like, why did Haiti get written out of the history of the banjo? So that's what will be...
Good question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what we're going to hope to hear some answers to.
Before I ask you the date of the remaining episodes, I was just wondering, and you actually answered this question, but I want to try to pull something else out without you giving too much away, because we do want people to view the series. But outside of Henry Hart and his genealogical story, is there any other wow moments of information that you found
through that first episode?
Through any of this, or is it you're learning as it goes along?
I am approaching this entire series from a learning perspective, and really, really just trying to provide a platform, for other people to teach all of us about these stories. It's something that I have a lot of interest in. And, I'm just really excited to and honored to be a part of it. But, I can't consider myself a historian. I'm an expert on various subjects, and hope to learn a little bit more, a lot more as the series progresses. And we're really lucky to have Michael Jones leading these discussions.
No, definitely, definitely. He's a good guy. When are the remaining dates? Because since the first one has aired already.
Next one is April 18th, Sunday, April 18th. I'm not sure when this podcast airs, but the following will be on the 25th. So, 3 Sundays in April, the series looks like this year. And we really, I want to say that we really hope to have a good response to this and continue. There's so many stories that could be told. I'm hoping that this is the beginning of a longer series. Michael Jones wrote, I'm sure you're familiar with his book about Louisville jug bands, but we could have many episodes just on jug band music, and that doesn't even start into any other blues and gospel and
ragtime for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the school located? Even though I'll have this information in the description, where is the school located?
Well, we're in Louisville, Kentucky, in the Clifton neighborhood. Almost everything we're doing since about a year ago, virtual, but we you know, we're really excited about things opening up and getting people back together in person in our classrooms. At the same time, looking at how we can keep some of these virtual students. We have students around the country now. We have students from California, Oregon, Canada, New York, Florida, all in between. We have at least one student in Europe, and I think their class meets at like 2 a.m. their time. So they we're able to record all of the classes on Zoom, and then, you know, they watch it after the fact. So, you know, that'll be my task, is to figure out how do we go back to doing things in person while also keeping some of these other folks engaged. Because, you know, we send out surveys at the end of every session and also a couple weeks into a session to see how things are going with the classes. And a lot of these virtual students are saying, please keep doing this after the pandemic is over, which is, you know, also just great to hear.
That's actually some of the best news, right? Because with the pandemic, being in, you know, being in the quarantine, and then as we're hopefully on our way out, most of these stories is, I'm not sure what I'm going to do. I just tried to adjust to keep my overhead. But it actually worked out pretty good because you were able to expand attendance, right? Because if the pandemic didn't happen, most of your students are in local proximity, yes?
Yes, sir. So the virtual students that we have around the country, you know, really helped to make up for some of the things that we can't do online. So the ensemble classes, the singing classes, you know, we had a couple choir classes, none of those, the jamming classes, none of those things really work with the current options for online teaching because there's latency, right? So I play something and then some small amount of time later, you hear it. And if you play along with that, then it takes even longer for that to come back to me. And so it's just cacophony, right? So we can't really jam that way. And singing together is really tough too, right? You know, there's pros and cons. There's pros and cons. The doing it online is kind of nice. If I'm taking a fiddle class and maybe I'm a little timid as a fiddle player, no one else can hear me, right? I just hear the teacher and I don't hear anybody else. So, you know, if I sign up for a banjo class and maybe I'm a little more advanced than some of the other folks, you know, we're not messing each other up. You know, if I'm noodling over top of something, it would be totally inappropriate for me to do that in the classroom.
Right. Have
people be staring at me side-eyed, but, in the comfort of my own home, it's totally fine. So there's some silver linings to it, but for sure we're excited about getting together and doing some of those things that we can't do online, the repertoire, the jamming, the singing. But, you know, adding those virtual students kind of helps fill those gaps a little bit. So, you know, we made it through 2020, and I feel like, you know, we've got a bright future. Just need to figure out how to maneuver whatever's next.
Right. I agree. Well, I thank you for your time.
You're welcome.
And all the good works that you guys are doing. And I'm excited about this particular series. And please keep us posted on it.
We certainly will. Thank you so much for inviting me on to talk with you today.
Thank you very much for accepting. That was Dave Howard, Executive Director of the Louisville Folk School. Be sure to tune in every Saturday morning during the weekend edition for another great episode of The African American Folklorist, airing at 8:35 a.m. Central and 9:35 a.m. Eastern. For WKU Public Radio and NPR One, I'm Lamont Jack Pearlie, and this is The African American Folklorist.